Let's pray. Father, we ask that we reflect on your word. You will reveal what it means for each one of us. Let it bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Very well-known readings there. And as I was reading those through and reflecting on them, one thing came to mind, and that is the sense of place, which is so important. And we can think of place literally, of work, place of leisure, place to socialize, to be home. But there's also the metaphorical sense of work, of place. And people use phrases, they say, right now I'm in a good place. Hope that's you today. Other people might say, I'm in a bad place. And sadly, some people could say, I'm in a very dark place at the moment. Place of very negative feelings, and it's most challenging. And when we look at any scripture, we see that place, both literal and metaphorical, is very important. We see individuals and groups of people in certain places. It could be in Jerusalem, Galilee, by the lake, in Egypt, in the wilderness. Place fixes us and what's going on around us. But also we read in the Bible of metaphorical places, people or individuals that are in places of sin, joy, disobedience, maybe despair, often hope and joy. This passage that you heard read from Isaiah was chapter 55, which comes at the end of the middle chunk of Isaiah. And it's set at a time where the Jews were in a bad place, literal and metaphorical. They were up in Babylon. They had been taken away as exiles. And so literally, they were in a bad place. They had no culture, no sense of belonging to that place. Metaphorically, they were also in a bad place. They were chastised by God because of their continual disobedience. And they were fearful that everything that had gone up to that point was lost. It was over. And they had no hope for the future. So literally and metaphorically, they were in a bad place. And they needed words of hope. But words of hope were given in abundance. Because at that time you had three prophets writing, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. And through Isaiah, you heard read this promise that you will go out with joy and be led back in peace. And through Ezekiel, who was actually one of the exiles in Babylon, he was saying, the Lord speaks of you, Lord. We have that vision of the dry bones. Do you remember the dry bones which were just reanimated and brought back to life? That was God's promise for the Jews. And through Jeremiah, God talks about his plans for the Jews. Not to destroy them, but to build them up. So God's work through Isaiah and the prophets were for a better place. And not only a better physical place back in Jerusalem, but a better spiritual place once more in a good place with God. And we read in that Isaiah reading that God's word will constantly be going out until it's responded to. His word will not give up, not come back, till there's a response to it. That is good news for us today. And I believe that the gospel picks up on this message of place. It's all about the place where the seed falls. The gospel takes the image of God's word, this word that is spread out far and wide, never returning until it is accomplished. So here Jesus is speaking of God's word, himself, in fact, being sent out to all places. And he talks about the four places where this seed lands. And we've got the path. The hearer doesn't understand. And the word is removed, it's snatched away, because it has no ability to root. And if you think about a path, maybe a well-known tourist place, you've got these paths that are so well worn. The ground underneath is hard and impermeable, and that gives us a picture of God's word falling on that place. In short, the path is not a place that is receptive to God's word. And there's the rocky ground. Initially, you've got this receiving of the word with joy, it says. But the roots have no way of penetrating deeply. And so when times get hard, by drought in the literal sense, you've got no way of getting the nutrients that are weighing down. It appears that the rocky ground is vulnerable to external hostility. And then you've got the place of thorns. Again, the place of thorns is a hostile place. Because there's so much competition for resources. At home in the vicarage, we've got a buddleia, and nothing at all grows around that buddleia because it soaks up all the water that falls, all the nutrients. So around the buddleia base, there is this desert because it gets everything. Nothing can compete with it. So the word that falls on around the thorns has competition. It has no chance of yielding fruit. And then there's the good place. A place that receives the word, the seed. It flourishes because there's no competition. It flourishes because it has everything it needs to grow into fruit. And bear in mind, that fruit is then seed for others around. Now, this is such a well-known passage, and I have to share with you a slight issue that I have with this. And it's because when I look at this reading, I try to place myself in one of those four situations. I ask myself the question, as perhaps you have, well, which am I? And my difficulty is, I can't decide. Because in truth, even though I would love to say and think that I'm the good place, I know that I'm not. I know that there are times when I can be a rocky path to God, I can be stony ground to God, and I can have a number of thorns all around me. These thorns around me are many things. So I look at this scripture and I think, how many of these can I identify with? And it was all of them. And as we hear about today being a time where we celebrate and think about vocation, maybe this is an important thing for all of us. If we are to hear God's call as to what our vocation is, we need to think, what is the ground that we're presenting to God? Is it going to be receptive? And I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, 10 years ago, if God were to send his word to me and say, I want you to go into full-time ministry, I would not have said that. I would have been like the path. That word would have just bounced off because I was so into the place that I was as a teacher. It took a number of years of constant seeding by God for me to receive that message. I had to be in a different place, both literally and metaphorically, for that seed to take root. So this passage is very much about vocation for all of us, how we receive and hear God's word. So I've been like the path. I've also been like the rocky place. I hear something, I think, yes, I get that. And then life gets hard, things come in, and I lose the sense of what I heard. It didn't bear fruit. Shall we say the message only stayed head deep? It didn't go into my heart. And I'm also aware that I presented to God too much competition from other places, too many thorns competing for the nutrients. And there have been times when I've wondered, hang on, why am I treading water? Why is nothing seeming to happen? And when I look back, it's because my mind and my heart was split in too many directions. And only when I focused on God and him alone did things start to happen. But the thing is, this competition can seem very worthy. We have to give time to family, friends, to work. But as long as it doesn't become our God. So I need to present to God at all times, not just in times of thinking about vocation, a heart that's receptive. As I said before, maybe you can identify with all four places, the path, the stones, the thorns, and the good place. And I was thinking, what if I find myself on the path, rejecting God? I need to ask myself, am I putting a barrier in God's way? Is my heart hardened to what God is telling me? Often it could be fear. Do I really fear what God is going to ask me to do? That's a common reaction. That's like the path, it's an impenetrable barrier. Maybe sin is a barrier. It could well be that life events have made us hard not to hear God's voice. Very real. But God promises through the prophet Ezekiel, he says this, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of God. This wonderful promise that we can hang on to today, that if we're feeling in that hard barrier place, God's Holy Spirit can soften that. When I present to God a rocky place, I need to examine, why is God's word staying up there and not getting down into my heart where it makes change? What is hostile to God at the moment in my life? Is it simply a matter that I'm not giving God enough time and space to root? Because it doesn't happen instantly. Having just sown seeds months ago, it takes a good few weeks for that root to grow. Is worship on Sunday only enough time for God to burden us? Or should we be spending more time throughout the week allowing God to root his word? And I know that there have been times, as I said, when I presented a whole bunch of thorns to God. Things where things sprout up, but it has come. And I need to be aware that I can only have one God in my life. We know the scripture, you cannot serve two masters. So all the time, God's word has competition from other things in our lives. That word will not flourish as well as it can. So can I encourage us all, when we find ourselves in the three less than desirable places, know that God can, desperately wants to help us. We're not alone. I can't change my heart from being hard to soft. Only God's Holy Spirit can do this. And I think that should be our prayer. God, make us receptive to your word at all times. When I've got a hard heart, soften it. When I'm presenting thorns, show me what they are. Strength and courage to deal with it. When I'm presenting rocky ground, challenge me, Lord, so that I can give you more time to allow those roots to go deep, suck up all that spiritual nourishment so that we can bear fruit. Paul prays for the Ephesians in a similar way. So I'll end with a couple of verses that Paul writes. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's my prayer.
So we reflect and we respond to the word of God as we declare our faith. using the words of the creed. If you would like to stand, if you feel the need to stand, do feel free to stand, but if you prefer to stay seated, then that's fine. So we stand or remain seated to say together the words of the creed. We believe in one, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, was made man. For our Savior, he was crucified. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again.
In accordance with the scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand. He will come again in glory to judge the living. His kingdom will come. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, has spoken through the prophet. We believe in one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
Amen.
We remain seated for our prayers of.
Lord of light and mercy, hear our prayer as we gather to worship you in this church building and at home. Hold us in your loving care. Liberating God, you desire your children to be free and called us to build your kingdom on earth. We pray for all churches throughout the world. We give you thanks that, through the miracle of technology, we have been able to continue our worship you. Have, we pray thee, compassion on those who are not so fortunate. We pray too that they will have found a way to continue to give you praise. Bless your church in seeking to do your will. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we bring to you a world still battling with COVID-19. We pray especially for those parts of the world where numbers of those infected continue to rise. This pandemic has served an injustice. Heavenly Father, we are made in your image. Help us to remember this and to reflect it in our daily lives. Help us to treat all with the dignity and respect they deserve, irrespective of differences. Help us to strive for a world of justice and peace. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, during this time, this period of lockdown, we have witnessed many acts of kindness and generosity in our local community. We pray that many things get back to normal, whatever that looks like. We will not forget our commitment to continue the same. We pray for those who have struggled during this time. We call to mind those who have struggled with psychological, emotional, and financial difficulty. Lord, look with compassion on those for whom lockdown has brought a time of fear of domestic in homes that should be refuge of security. Guard and protect the victims of this abuse and their children. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, while our attention has been focused on COVID-19, we have, it seems, almost forgotten all those who suffer from other illnesses. We pray for those who, through fear, have not presented to GPs or other health services when ill. For those whose operations have been cancelled, and for those whose conditions have worsened. Lord, we know that the health service was struggling prior to the pandemic, and that they are destined to do so coming out of it. We pray for all who wait in hope to be healed. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have died. Death brings with it rituals. For some, those rituals involve friends and family gathering at family homes to pay their respect. We have too the ritual of funerals and all that that means to people of different cultures and religions. Father, COVID-19 has stolen these rituals, death, as instead of being together and offering comfort, we are forced to be apart. But you, Lord, are our rock. Our hope rests in you. For we pray your grace on all who mourn. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And before we introduce the peace, morning, just a reminder of some of those housekeeping things that we need to observe. First of all, as we share the peace, please wave to those at home, to one another, but don't move across to one another. And again, a reminder that when we come for communion, we will receive only the bread. Alistair will distribute communion to those of us first. You can please keep your distance and keep your hands sanitised, certainly before and probably as well. So we will prepare now in God's. I just glanced down. I'm so sorry. The one thing that I should have said, that I've written down that I forgot, that when we come to receive communion, we won't give you words individually as you receive. Alistair will say words of distribution to us all, And if you are intending to receive communion, so when he says the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, so on, please respond, Amen.
We are all one in Christ Jesus. We belong to him through faith, heirs of the promise of the Spirit of peace. And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. Let us offer one another a sign of God's peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, everybody.
Peace
be with you all.
Anne is normally here, so she's come so that you can all wave to Anne and give her God's peace too. And now we turn to our communion.
Blessed be God forever.
Thank you, O God, for creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to serve. Fruit of the vine and the worst of human hands.
Blessed be God forever.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us. We live
then in the Lord.
Right to give thanks.
It is right to give thanks.
Son Jesus Christ, our Savior, die and rising has set us free. So we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
Lord, power and mind, heaven and earth, and all the
Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
As we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine may be for us. Night before he died, at supper with his friends, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of the supper was ended, he took the cup. Again he praised you and gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for them, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and the cup, we proclaim his death and resurrection till he comes again in glory. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ
will come again.
Justice, mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms. At your table in heaven. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ. The unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever.
Amen.
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 Your name, your kingdom
come, your will be done. Amen.
In one. Body of our Lord Jesus, give you. Preserve your body and soul unto everlasting. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you and that he lives for you. And feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, since we cannot now receive you sacramentally, we pray that you would come spiritually to our souls. Come, Lord Jesus, come and cleanse us, heal us, strengthen us, and unite us to yourself. Now, and forevermore. Amen. Psalm 65. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. To you that hears prayer shall all flesh come, because of their transgressions. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you will blot them out. Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness. O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the seas that are far away, you make fast the mountains by your power. They are girded about with might. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamour of the peoples. Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvellous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless its increase. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
Things carry on in their usual routine for their week. So there is the online Bible on Tuesday evening at 7:30. It's been quite a small group, this. Good people, but if anybody else would join us, you'd be most welcome. Just usual things, really. The church is open for prayer Wednesday evenings now, and on Saturday mornings from 10:30 to 11:30. Those will be regular times to be open. Just to let you know, I'm not going to be about friends. And I think that everything else you need to know, notice sheets, so if you've not already, look at it. We will, I think, exit through also. Again, people at the back might like to keep an eye on that. And please, when you get out, step well away. Don't loiter in duty at the back. Just make your way out. You're very welcome to have your social conversations on the green outside. So, thank you, those of you who've joined us here. Thank you, everyone at home, good to be with you. And that's it. Back over to Alistair.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on the knowledge and Blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, be among you and remain with you.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.